one more time. Whole thing through one more time. Here we go.
Found in Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 18. It's on the back of your bulletin. You follow along the scriptures. But Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 18. Let's all stand, please, in honor of God's word. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. But made himself of no reputation, and took upon the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men.
And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross.
Wherefore God hath also highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name.
That at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth.
And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father.
Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling.
For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure.
Do all things without murmurings and disputings,
that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights of the world.
Holding forth the word of light, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not
from
man, neither labor in vain.
Yea, and if I be offered up upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all.
For the same cause also do you joy and rejoice with me.
Lord bless his word. You may be seated.
Let's bow our heads together as we look to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity to gather as believers and to come into your presence through prayer, even right now. We thank you and praise you for giving us life today, for giving us your word that we may read and consider today. And we thank you that you have made a way for us to know you through Jesus Christ. We come thanking you for the body and blood of Christ, the sacrifice that was made for us so that our sins could be completely atoned for and we can have eternal life and forgiveness. And so we come through Jesus' name this morning and we pray that you would help this congregation. Lord, you know the needs that we still have, even as your children. Lord, we need to grow in our obedience as these scriptures teach us. And so help us, Lord, in that. Help us as we need your encouragement. We need your correction. And Lord, we pray for those in our midst who are struggling with physical illness and those who have family members who are struggling. We pray that you would strengthen them. We pray for those who can't be here today. We think of those, even some, who are with us online or by the recording, and we pray for them. We pray that you would strengthen them and encourage them, even this morning. And Lord, we pray that you would bless our church. We need your blessing. We need your strength. We recognize this church belongs to you, and we're asking that you would make us to be what you would have us to be. We pray that we would see our need to be a part of the body here and to serve in the body as members of the body. And Lord, we recognize that Christ is our head and help us to grow into him as a church. And help us even as we worship you today, Father, that we would come with a genuine spirit of worship that is able to worship in spirit and in truth today. As we come with our tithes and offerings, we pray your blessing on that part of our worship. We ask that we would give, not grudgingly, but cheerfully. We know that you love a cheerful giver, and you care about our attitudes. And so we pray that you would help us to worship you in a right spirit today. We lift up our missionaries today, and we thank you for the part that we have in their work. And we pray for protection and strength and encouragement and open doors and the boldness that they need to spread the gospel. And we pray that you would give us that same thing as we pray for them. Lord, you put us here to be lights. Help us to live in such a way that we can be different from the world. And help us, Lord, to hold forth that word of life that you've given to us, the gospel, and give us those opportunities, we pray. We lift up our country to you. We thank you for our country. And we pray for our authorities. You put these authorities in their positions. And we pray that these authorities would recognize that, including our President Joe Biden. Help him to humble himself and rely upon you for the wisdom that he needs. We pray for our community leaders here and our authorities. We pray that they too would come to know you as Savior. We pray for special wisdom for them. And we pray for the needs of our country. We see our country growing more and more twisted and perverse. And we know you see this, Father. And we pray that you would have mercy. We pray that you would help us to shine as lights in this dark world. And we ask that you would give us the ability to do that. We thank you for this time we can gather to worship you. We pray that it would be pleasing in your sight. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's turn in our hymnals now to number 428. Number 428 as we stand and sing to the work. Number 428. Let's stand as we sing. Red Song.
Yesterday I received a text from Samuel asking me if I'd be willing to sing this morning, and he said he's sorry it was last notice, and I said sure. Anytime I'm asked to serve the Lord, I would hope that I would be able to. So I wasn't sure what to choose. I lingered back and forth with a few different songs, so this is the one I landed on, but I hope it's a blessing to you this morning. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of His Spirit, washed in His blood. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, perfect delight, visions of rapture now burst on my sight. Angels descending bring from above echoes of mercy, whispers of love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, all is at rest. I in my Savior am happy and blessed, watching and waiting, looking above, filled with His goodness, lost in His love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long.
Amen. Thank you very much for that song, Blessed Assurance. I hope everybody can understand that song and view that as their own testimony. Let's turn in our Bibles to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. We are going through Philippians. And last week, perhaps you remember, that we saw what it means to have the mind of Christ. Paul encourages us to have the mind of Christ in order to be like-minded. He wants the believers he's writing to be like-minded. And here is the example we need to follow: Christ, His mind of no reputation, His mind of a servant, His mind of obedience. And we saw the need we have to worship Jesus Christ because of His exaltation. And now as we look at the next several verses here, we see Paul writing more about obedience. He's just told us about the mind of Christ involves obedience. And now Paul is teaching us that Christians, we need to focus on obedience in our lives. We need to obey the Lord as Christians. Christ was obedient even to the Father unto death. And Christians, as followers of Christ, should certainly be obedient. And perhaps the matter of being like-minded was the focus of Paul's thought there and his obedience. He had written in verse 2, "Fulfill ye my joy that you be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord." And it may have been for the Philippians that that was just a matter of obedience for them. And maybe some were just being disobedient when it came to being like-minded. And they needed to obey in that area. Of course, that's only one area. There may be many areas that there are many areas of life the Lord wants us to obey Him in. And we need to see the importance of that. And as we look at these verses, I want to point out the work of obedience, first of all, and then the attitude of obedience, and then we'll see the results of obedience in our Christian lives. But notice verse 12, we see the work of obedience. Paul writes, "Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure." We see that Paul wanted to get these Philippians to see that they needed to take serious the work of obedience. And so he writes to them, "As ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your salvation." This idea of obedience. They were not to just do it when Paul was around, but to do it all the time. They were to obey by working out their own salvation. This is the idea of bringing out as a result. They were saved. They believed the Lord Jesus is the Savior. They trusted in Him. And the idea is now there should be a result to that. There should be working out in their lives, working out their own salvation. Of course, we cannot work to obtain our salvation. The Scriptures are very clear about that. And if so, it wouldn't be salvation. Do you know the word salvation? What does it mean? It means to be rescued. To be saved, to be rescued. And, you know, before a person is saved, it's like they're drowning in the ocean. They can do nothing. And the Lord comes along and grabs them out of that drowning ocean and rescues them, saves them. And that's how salvation is. If we could work to obtain that in any way, it wouldn't be salvation. It wouldn't be rescuing. But the Lord will rescue us. The Lord will rescue people today. He does. And they are to work out that salvation, to bring it to a result, to work it out practically. And there should be a fear and trembling involved in that. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. There should be a fear of offending God. Remember Joseph when he was in Potiphar's house in Genesis 39, and he was tempted to sin. And he said, "How can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" He was in fear and trembling before God. And that's what led him to obey. He thought about what it would mean to sin against the Lord. There should be a fear and trembling. This is a serious matter. We should take seriously, recognize there needs to be a work in our lives to obey, to put forth some effort to obey. But there's something else we need to consider, and that is the energy that we have to obey. Verse 13, "For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure." This word work here in verse 13 is a different word from verse 12. It means to cause or make something possible. We get our word energy from this Greek word. God energizes our wills. God energizes our desires, our ability to obey. It's not that He makes us do something against our wills, but He changes our wills. He energizes our wills to make us to want to do of His good pleasure, to want to do what His will is. God energizes our obedience. You know, there may be a Christian who thinks that God is just going to do it all for him. And all they need to do is just sort of step back and to let God do what He wants them to do in His life. If God wants them to do something or change something in their lives, God's just going to have to do it. There may be somebody like that. This verse says it's God's work anyway. But wait a minute. I think that's an imbalanced view of what God wants from us. In verse 12, He's told us that we need to take seriously our obedience, to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. That means that there is effort on our parts as Christians. And we can't think that we just simply step back and allow God to do everything. No, God wants us to recognize the work of obedience. We have a responsibility. There may be somebody else who thinks it's too hard. There may be somebody, a Christian, who sees an area that they know God wants them to obey in. Maybe it's something that God has even brought to their mind right now. And they know that that would be practically what God would want them to do. And as that person looks at that and thinks about that thing, they think they could never do that. They could never do what God wants them to do. How could they possibly obey in that area of their lives? Too hard. I can't do it. It may be very difficult to get out of a sinful habit or to break off a relationship that is not going the right direction. It's not pleasing to God. It may be hard to confess sin and ask forgiveness from someone you've wronged. It's hard. But this verse tells us that we are not on our own. God works in you to will and to do of His good pleasure. We are not on our own to obey the Lord if we're Christians. So we need to see both sides of this. There is effort that we need to put forth here, and God will help us to do the thing that we need to do. Why do we need to do the work of obedience? Well, we have to get to the point where we do the work of obedience not because some other person is checking on us. You know, for Paul here in these verses, he's saying, whether I'm here or not, I want you to obey. And sometimes, even as believers, we get in the habit of thinking that we need to obey just because whoever is near us. And we need to make sure that the parents see that we're doing what we're supposed to be doing, or the teacher, or the authority, the pastor. We want to make sure the pastor sees that we're doing what we're supposed to be doing. And we need to get to the point where we obey the Lord because we don't want to displease the Lord. And we do the work of obedience because of fear and trembling to think of displeasing God. And if any of those other people in our lives were taken away from us, or we are taken away from those other people, we would still obey the Lord because He's watching us and we want to please Him. It's like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Do you remember in the book of Daniel when those young men and even Daniel were taken out of their country and taken away from their parents and put in another country, another culture, totally different, And yet, what do we read about them in Daniel chapter 1? They are still determining to please the Lord, even though their parents are not in the picture. Their authorities are gone. They're taken away from their authorities. And yet, still we see them endeavoring to please the Lord, even though the people that would be an encouragement to them are not around. And that's how it should be for us. Why do we obey? Why do we do the work of obedience? Is it because I want this person to see what I'm doing? Oh, this person's showing up. Better make sure that I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing. Well, ultimately, the best reason to obey is because of God. And God sees us everywhere we are. So we see the effort, the work of obedience, the importance of that. And then I want us to see, secondly here, the attitude of obedience. Notice the attitude that Paul writes to the Philippians about here in verse 14. Do all things without murmurings and disputings. Do all things without murmurings and disputings. We see the attitude here. All things, all areas. And that includes our obedience. Paul is writing to them about that would include areas where we are commanded to do things or commanded not to do things by the Lord. And we ought to do those things without murmurings and disputings. I think about the Israelites. You know, the Israelites in the wilderness, they are the bad examples of murmurings and disputings. Remember the Israelites in the wilderness? Perhaps Paul is even thinking of them as he's writing about this. And Paul uses them as an illustration in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 6. He says, now these things were our examples to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. Neither be ye idolaters, as were some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed, and fell in one day 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted, and were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured, and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now all these happened unto them for ensamples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. But you think about the Israelites in the wilderness and their murmuring and disputing, which they did very often. And often it was against Moses, and it was against their circumstances that they were in, and they were complaining. They didn't have this, they didn't have food, didn't have water. And what we see from their example is that their complaining was not just against Moses. And Moses gets all bent out of shape. Remember, he's thinking that it's all about him, and God has to remind him, no, they're actually complaining about me. And that's the reality of what murmuring and disputing is, even in our day. It's not just about that other person, about that authority, about that boss, about that parent. It's really a complaint against God. That's what it is. And here in 1 Corinthians 10, which I just read, this attitude is related to many other sins, like sexual immorality and idolatry. Many of the perversions that are all around us in our culture are rooted in this. They're rooted in a basic dissatisfaction with who we are and what we have or don't have. And it's that heart attitude that encourages these other things, sexual immorality, idolatry. It's the attitude of discontentment. And so we need to see the importance about guarding against murmuring and disputing. You know, this is a warning about an attitude. We all know that murmuring and disputing doesn't need to be spoken to be murmuring and disputing. We can be murmuring and disputing and never say a word. But the Lord cares about our heart attitude when it comes to obedience. The Lord is not just looking for us to be outward performers, all the while our hearts are murmuring and disputing. That's not what He's looking for. He wants our heart attitude to be right, and that will produce the right kind of outward obedience. The Bible says things like, use hospitality one to another without grudging, 1 Peter 4:9. 2 Corinthians 9:7, every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. God cares not just about those outward things. Well, as long as I give, I'm okay. As long as I do this particular thing, that's all God wants. No, God wants you to do that with the right attitude, not grudging. It's so easy for us to just focus on the outward behavior and think that we're obeying. God cares about the inward, the heart. Maybe there's somebody who's trying to get some outward obedience in their lives, and yet really the reality is that a person like that may be, and they perhaps would know this, they've never really trusted in Jesus Christ as their Savior in their hearts. And there can be a person who thinks that they just need to change some things on the outside to do this particular thing that other people are doing too. And boy, if they do that, maybe that's the way that they can be right with God. And there can be people who think that Christianity is just adding these outward things to their lives, giving money. But that's not really being a genuine Christian. That's not being a genuine Christian. Are you a genuine Christian? And what that involves is your heart. What that involves is you have trusted Jesus Christ and repented of your sins in your heart. Not just that you put on these outward things. Are you a genuine Christian? True Christian. You have faith in your heart, believing Jesus Christ. And if you're a genuine Christian, yes, there will be a practical outworking of that salvation in obedience. And God cares about our attitude with that. We ought to do it without murmuring and disputing. And then we see that there's a result of that obedience here in verses 15 through 18. Look at verse 15. That ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. There's a result to obeying the Lord as a Christian, as a true Christian. And we see that it results in being a light in a dark world. If a Christian today will endeavor to obey the Lord as they ought, they will be a light in a dark world. They will be a light. And Paul writes about this godly character here, that ye may be blameless and harmless. Blameless in the eyes of the world. Harmless, meaning unmixed or pure. Sons of God. Sons of God. Christians, of course, a true Christian is a child of God. But through the way that they live their lives, they'll be recognized as a child of God. They'll be recognized as one who is truly a son of God, who's showing that family resemblance to the Lord. Without rebuke. The idea here is without spot. Jude 24 tells us God is able to present us this way, faultless, it says, before the presence of His glory. And that light here, that character is that light, is in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, it says, verse 15. That sounds familiar, doesn't it? You know, if that doesn't describe our current culture, I'm not sure what does. in the midst of a crooked and a perverse nation. We shine as lights, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. Our godly living and obedience is one way that we shine. Another way is by holding forth the word of life. Verse 16, holding forth the word of life. This is another way that we're lights. We hold forth the word of life, the gospel, the word which brings life. It brings eternal life through Jesus Christ. The Apostle Peter recognized that at a time when many were going away from Jesus. In John chapter 6, verse 67, he says unto the 12, will ye also go away? Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. This is what we are to hold forth. The gospel which brings eternal life. The gospel by which men can be saved. The situation you may be in, a person may be in today, may be very dark and increasingly dark. It may be the workplace. It may be the school. It may be somebody's family even. It may be a crooked and a perverse family. It may be a crooked and a perverse situation, a job situation. What do we do? Our nation is a crooked and perverse nation. What can we do about it? We need to be lights. And the way that we're lights, according to this passage, is we need to obey in our own personal lives. In order to show the difference, we need to be sure that we're living in such a way as people in this dark world can see the difference. And we may not even say anything. But the way that we live, the way that we conduct ourselves is light to them. It's obedience. And so the thing that all of us can do to address the growing twistedness and perversion, which is in our country today, and every day it's getting darker, we need to make sure that we're obeying the Lord. And as we do that, we're going to shine brighter. And that's a result of our obedience. We shine as a light. You know, we also need to, we have to be careful of something. There's a certain attitude, a certain philosophy that maybe it's not even spoken, but I'm sure that you've heard this philosophy. And that is that we must be like the world so that we can win the world. And, you know, there's people that perhaps would have that mentality that we need to be more like the world so that we can influence them. Perhaps we dress like the world, or we have music that's more like what the world likes, or we are a little more accepting of the lifestyle of the world. Even if it's twisted, we just need to be a little more accepting about it. And if we're like that, perhaps we can win them over. Perhaps we can reach them a little bit better. But that is not the biblical pattern here. There's churches and ministries that I think have this philosophy that if we can just be a little bit more relevant and like the world, we'll be able to reach them. I told you several months ago about a man who visited our church, and he was, I won't tell you who it is, but he visited our church and he was talking to me about another church he was in, and another church in the broader area here. You would know what it is if I told you, but I won't tell you. And he said, you know, I was sitting there in that particular church, and I was listening to the music they were playing. And he said, I realized that they were actually playing Michael Jackson music in this church. And he recognized this isn't right. This isn't right. And then he visited our church and we were singing hymns. You know, he commented on the hymn we were singing, you know, it's from like the 8th century or something like that. And it's, I don't know if he was trying to work through that still thing, but you know, it's not the world's music. But the mentality is, hey, if we play the Michael Jackson, if we play whatever else music that that the world likes, maybe we can just allow them to feel more comfortable and to you know, be a little more willing to accept what we're going to say. But no, that's not how our thinking should be. It should be we ought to be following the Lord and obeying the Lord. And as we do that, we're going to be light. We're going to be a light to the dark world if we are growing closer to the Lord. God's pattern here is to be different from the world, not just for difference, different for difference sake, but obedient to God. And as we grow in that, we'll be brighter. We'll be a brighter light to the world. And then another result here of our obedience is not only light in a dark world, but also joy. We see joy as well as a result. Verse 16, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Yea, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all. For the same cause also do ye joy and rejoice with me. Paul wanted the Philippians' obedience to be a reason for his rejoicing in the day of Christ. And he wanted it to be that when he stood before Christ, when Christ returns, that he could see that his labor was not in vain. He would be joyful and happy that these Philippians had grown in their obedience as a result of his ministry. And he speaks of his very life being poured out here in verse 17. He may be even talking about his execution here. But he's rejoicing with them in that. And he wants them to rejoice with him. Our obedience can bring joy to others. It brings joy to God, but it can bring joy to other people as well. Maybe there's somebody who doesn't have joy. Maybe they find themselves depressed, downcast. There can be many reasons to feel that way. But let's not let disobedience be a reason that keeps us from joy. If we obey the Lord, there will be joy. And so let's be like-minded and have the mind of Christ. Let's obey in that area that Paul is dealing with here. And let's follow the Lord and all that He's told us to do. Let's assemble ourselves together, not forsake it. Let's honor our father and our mother and obey them, obey our authorities. And let's work out our salvation with fear and trembling. And as we do that, may God help us to have joy. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we see here that we need to obey you. All of us probably would recognize this is true. Yet sometimes we have a hard time. And so help us to see that you're working in us to will and to do of your good pleasure. Help us to see the effort that we need to put forward with this as well. And help us to have the right heart attitude. Not to grumble and complain, but to do it joyfully. We pray for your strengthening us, which we know that you do. And help us to do what we need to do in the matter of obeying you as Christians. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's turn now to another hymn, number 466, Christ Liveth in Me, 466. And we'll sing this before we come to the Lord's table. Let's all stand, 466. 466, Christ Liveth in Me. may be seated.